Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forza Italian Football Podcast, the only Italian football podcast that is present in the Serie A stadiums at the matches every single week. I am your host, Connor Clancy, fresh back from Genoa, Bologna. And joining me is a very, very happy Vito Doria. Vito, congratulations on your win and welcome along.
Yes, I'm very happy with this weekend's result. As some people might say, it was only Frosinone, but when you win 5-0 and play well, there's plenty to be happy about.
Yeah, Vito, it's always good to celebrate 3 points, even if you did earn those 3 points by playing against training cones. Not so happily joining me this week is Nick Carroll. Nick, it's probably going to be a theme of the first few weeks of this season, given your upcoming fixtures. Welcome along, nonetheless.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It really sounds like it's good to be here, Nick. I appreciate your enthusiasm for the pod this week. I'm sure that'll come across. And given I'm aware that I seem to lack charisma in hosting this podcast, so here to bring the charisma in abundance is Dov Schiavone.
Bringing the charisma. Charisma on show, everybody.
Welcome along, mate.
No, the reason you are the charisma, right? I'm not the charisma. But get me in the thing.
I tend to disagree with that opinion. But
no, I have no charisma. You've got the charisma, so that's why people don't want me to be here.
We have to give the people what they want, so we might have to give you the boot halfway through.
We are the people.
Right. Steady on. Okay, you know what you've done there. All right, let's start with Juve. You were there today.
I was there.
We're allowed into Juve.
We finally seen Cristiano Ronaldo score goals.
We did. Well, you did. His first one was an absolute cracker. No. Couldn't have been any easier for him. I love when a goal is anticipated that much and then he was underneath the crossbar when he scored it. But everyone was like, how did Cristiano get on?
He was alright. He should have had about 4 goals or 5 goals, to be honest. His finishing wasn't very good. He needs to up his finishing. But no, he was fine. It was funny at the start because all the Juve players were just passing to him or trying to pass to him to try to get him to get that goal.
I wanted to ask you that actually, because remember, as soon as they went 1-0 up against Parma, they just started doing that.
No, they were doing that from the start against us. Well, when it was 0-0.
That's embarrassing.
Well, yeah. Well, it's the thing. They need to get him off the mark, and then he scores one. What happens?
Yeah.
The second comes. It's like buses. That's what it's like. Cristiano Ronaldo's goals are like buses. He ages for one, and then two come along at the same time.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, right. That is all you need to say about Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's all we're saying about the big man, is it? Right, yeah.
There's nothing else to say.
No, I think when we're talking about this game, Cristiano Ronaldo isn't going to be too pleased because he has his headlines stolen from him by a certain Douglas Costa. Vito, I'll bring you in. Actually, Abdul has commented, Douglas Costa's embarrassment has overshadowed Ronaldo's performance. Just as I'm saying it, Abdul, excellent timing. Vito, there's not really much that we need to say about this, is there? But what was he thinking?
Hard to say if he was thinking much at all. He was just pure rage and he was just very furious after responding to some fouls, but it just was so unprofessional of him. I would have expected better from Douglas Costa because he is a very talented player and he's an asset to that Juventus side. But to act the way he did towards Federico Di Francesco was nothing more than a disgrace, and hopefully he does get a heavy suspension for his actions.
Yeah. It was disgusting, Vito. It wasn't even disgrace. It was actually disgusting. He spat in his mouth. It's like spitting at somebody's bad enough, but he literally spat and it went in his mouth. And this was after he headbutted him and elbowed him. Yeah, you don't elbow me. After the game, Allegri was obviously asked about it about a million times, and he's like, yeah, he's getting fined for it. So he's going to get a fine. Well, probably won't make that much of a difference given how much he gets paid. And he'll get 3 games at the very least. But you'd kind of think that the league would maybe go a bit more heavier on him because it wasn't just, oh, yeah, he missed out with a head, but he actually went disgusted.
Well, that's disgusting. It. Nick, it started because Di Francesco challenged Douglas Costa and he took exception to that. And then just went out on Di Francesco. He stuck a headbutt in on him right in front of the referee and just missed. So he got away with that. That should have been a red card because he intended to headbutt him.
He probably got sent off for that anyway. But then it just kind of escalated very quickly.
Yeah. But then there was the other incident where Douglas Costa went in on Di Francesco and then swung an elbow. And spat. There was a horrifying moment when you watch it back and you can see Di Francesco realizes that he's been spat on.
And then his face just is
like, he realizes, oh, that's in my mouth. And you can just see his little face drop. I felt bad for the wee guy. But, Nick, would you expect there to be more than a 3-game ban for this, given they could just accumulate the red card offences?
I think there needs to be. The Serie A needs to clamp down on any kind of ridiculous crap like this. So it's the last thing Serie A needs. As you said, it's overshadowed Cristiano Ronaldo's first goals in the league, which is, you know, that's what the whole league has been about talking about this whole season so far. So, yeah, it's disgusting. I mean, I wouldn't even do that to you, Connor. So, yeah, just.
I would hope not. One thing, right, that really shocked me, I had to ask you, was Sami Khedira was captain. And then Paulo Dybala was vice-captain, which...
Well, the way Juve do it is, they do it, obviously, they appoint their captain. So, obviously, Chiellini's the captain. And then they do it based on appearances afterwards. And obviously, and with Bonucci coming back, he's obviously got more appearances than everybody, but because of what happened, I think I mentioned this in the podcast that it was Adam Digby, that they're going to count Bonucci's appearances from when he's re-signed.
Okay.
So that he's not kind of just coming back after kind of falling out with the club and then being the captain again.
If anything, that's to keep the fans on side, which is probably a good decision. Cheyenne has come in. He is getting worried, I'm guessing, as a Juve fan. He's getting worried that Paulo Dybala will not fit in with Ronaldo. It's something we've kind of touched on before. But is he a one-formation man? Nick, thoughts on that?
I think Dybala is a bit more flexible. But certainly, I mean, if anyone that watched that first half, it was absolute rubbish, the whole match. Like, it was getting up to midnight in Australia and I was, like, fighting off the dozing because it was just nothing, particularly for Juventus. So at least Sassuolo had a strategy. They knew they were going to have it up against them. So, and they were brave in trying to play it out from the back too. A bit more brave than I would have had them. But nothing was working up front between Dybala, Mandzukic and Ronaldo. It was like there was no instructions. They were just put up there and said, do your best. Good luck. But
I think that's the kind of thing that they were all trying to find Ronaldo. Like, if they hadn't have done that, then it'd probably been. I think now he scored those goals, kind of duck, if you whatever, that kind of thing that was hanging over him, probably will be gone now. So it'll maybe get a bit more fluid with them. But I think that, like, you're right. In the first half, it was pretty rubbish, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that takes a huge amount of pressure off the Ronaldo thing. So it would be interesting to see how the next couple games go. I think it looks like they'll probably stick with that kind of start, given that Costa won't be there. So, I think there's more of a concern about their midfield, to be honest. I think for a game against Sassuolo, they needed to dominate. And it wasn't good enough for me that I mean, I think they had like 42% possession.
Yeah, Sassuolo had 57% possession, yeah. And they had more shots than Juve as well. One more, but still.
How do you like? I don't understand how you justify that. Midfield.
You're right. What you say, Sassuolo were playing around the box and in midfield, and they were quite happy to pass it around there. They just couldn't do anything up front because Kevin Prince-Boateng is this weird kind of false nine striker. It's just odd to watch. And he keeps dropping off. It's kind of like when we get into Inter, similar to Keita. And he's meant to be up front, but he's not really up front. And then the guys who were either side of him weren't coming in. Berardi was just kind of stationed on the right and didn't really do too much. So it's kind of almost kind of part of how they play. That they're happy with the ball. De Zerbi's, I think he's done a great job there. And they're happy with that, but they haven't got the penetration. So it's kind of what you expect, but you never thought Juventus were going to lose that.
No, but then on the flip side of that, how many times have we seen Juve go toe-to-toe with better opposition than Sassuolo, with all due respect, and just allow them to have the ball? They don't care about possession. They'll sit back. Okay, you're not going to break us down. We've got Douglas Costa, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Paulo Dybala there to just smash you on the counter-attack. Play away. So I wouldn't read too much into the possession stats. Juve got another win. They're going to keep doing this until May. And by the way everyone else is going about it, Juve will have the Scudetto in their hands probably by like October 27th or something. Is that mathematically possible? Because I'm sure teams like adopt points or something. I'm glad you touched on Sassuolo.
I was just going to say, they have more wins than Roma, Milan and Inter combined. What the... Sorry, I shouldn't swear. It is ridiculous. Like, we're four games in.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of depressing, that, isn't it? I hadn't seen that. That's quite nice. Nick, that's the best stat you've come with this season. Good work.
I had a really good stat the other week. But sure.
When I was in Genoa last and you just kept me awake at night?
Mm.
Yeah. They weren't good. Anyway, João Cancelo.
He was good,
wasn't he?
Best right back in the world.
There we go. We were trying to discuss this the other night. Actually,
best right back in the world.
He's probably worth a shout. Aaron Holland is crying or he's brokenhearted. do you want to sing Cancelo's praises?
No, he was really good. He's almost like a winger. Mm. Obviously, Sassuolo didn't really offer too much. He didn't have much to do in defence, but I mean, he's all over the place.
Cristiano.
If you thought he was good at Inter last season, he's even better now. He's got some of that Juve winning mentality, Nicholas.
Why'd you have to do that? It's early. We haven't even gone to Inter yet and you're sticking the life there. That's ridiculous. Carry on. That charisma needs to be...
Yeah, exactly. Just stop. No more charisma for me. Yeah, no, James, he was good. He was really good.
What we didn't mention about the Douglas Costa and the repercussions of his idiocy is that he'll probably miss the Napoli game. Vito, Napoli, they've been good against the better teams. No, I'm not disrespecting Sampdoria. Good against the bigger teams, let's say. They've got their wins there and... It looks like that Sampdoria game might have just been a once-off, but how much will Juventus miss him, and can Napoli actually make that his absence count? I don't know.
He will be missed, but Juventus have fantastic depth anyway, especially in the right-wing position, so they can choose between Juan Cuadrado and Federico Bernardeschi, so he is still a replaceable player, and that just goes to show how strong Juventus' depth is at the moment. Napoli possibly could provide a contest, but like always, I think Napoli will have a big fight on their hands against Juventus. So just have to see how things pan out. And also under Ancelotti, they haven't been overly convincing, but they're still getting the results. So I think it goes to show that Napoli may be finally learning that they can't always play beautiful football, but if they can still obtain results, that should boost their confidence a lot.
All right, that'll do. You guys as well. Nick, how are all those positives over at the Giuseppe Meazza going for you?
You want to do this again, Connor?
I told you it wasn't going to be fun. Nah, but really.
That's why they're called Pazza Inter, Clancy. They're crazy.
It's one wild roller coaster.
What's your take on it? Because we were both there and we have slightly different takes on it. So, Nick, as someone who's hurting, what do you think?
Okay. Firstly, there's no excuse for that, for losing to Parma. absolutely dominated the match. So that's, there were some questionable decisions by Spalletti. My main one, I was really annoyed that Kondrava actually started, given that Politano has been one of the most brightest players in attack this season for Inter. So I absolutely did not understand that. I think I need to mention Brozovic's hair, because that just pissed me off as well. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, something bad's going to happen today. I knew it.
When he came out, I didn't know who it was. It took me a while, and then he did a stupid pass. I was like, oh,
that's epic Brozo, guys.
I think Brozo. I'm sorry to cut you off, because I was kind of hoping you might go off on one, but Kondrava was good, mate.
He
was good.
He started well. Don't get me wrong. He started well. Towards the end, he kind of dropped off a bit. But my point is, I'm questioning why he got the nod over one of the form players of the team. Again, there's a lot of Spalletti hate going on, and so some of it I might agree with for this match, but still, I think it's way over the top. Particularly given that Icardi is still not clearly 100% fit. Nainggolan's in his second game in that position, in the middle of the forward kind of midfield attacking three. And Lautaro Martinez isn't available either. So my biggest frustrations is the midfield for me, really, because, I mean, for me, Brozovic, I don't know, he seems to just have carte blanche in this midfield. Like, he can do no wrong, but he did 128 passes this match. Like, I feel like he gets on the field and is like, if I just make passes, people are going to love it. But you can do is 300 passes. If you're not going to do anything of note, then there's absolutely no point. It just seems like they're passing it around for the sake of it at times. Well, absolutely dominant.
They did 25% less passes than had against Bologna. They had, like, was it 650 they tried? Mm. Whereas against Bologna, they tried over 800. And Brozovic wasn't very good either. But for me, the problem isn't in the midfield. The problem's at the top end of the pitch, because you're playing Keita, who's not a striker, but then you've got Kondrava and Perisic firing balls in the box to a guy who's about 5'5". Mm. And it just doesn't work. Whereas, like, Inter's game is built around Icardi. It has been, like, since Spalletti. Inter don't have a replacement for Icardi. So if he's out, the kind of game plan's not there. And or the way that Spalletti wants to play doesn't work with the players he's got when Icardi's not there. Like for me, he should change to a 4-3-3 or something like that. Because Nainggolan's not a trequartista.
No, he's not.
And Keita's not a striker.
And what does this say about their transfer window, though? Because, or the person responsible for the players they brought in? Because it did look like they had signed pretty well on paper this summer. But they've signed well without addressing the needs that they had in the team. They brought in Nainggolan to do the role of a 10, which he's not. And he doesn't look comfortable there. You want him in a 3. And they're still absolutely toothless without Icardi.
Well, the thing that got me is that after the game, the press conference, Nick, I don't know if you read my wonderful article on First Italian Football, because it was wonderful.
Of course I did.
Exactly. But he keeps moaning about the mentality, right? He's not moaning about the tactics or saying, oh, we've not got a striker. He was moaning about the mentality, saying that when the players tried, when things didn't work out, they kind of, like, almost give up and they get frustrated and they don't know what to do. And it did that all last season as well. And it just strikes me as a bit of, like, right, okay, you kind of said this is a problem. Surely you must have fixed it by now, or you must have told the players, look, like, sort yourselves out.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
You lost for words, Nick.
I'm trying to be calm about this. I feel like I'm under pressure to just, like, lose my shit. I don't know, like, realistically, Keita's the third choice in that position for me. Mm. So I think that kind of forget that very easily. And I understand the mentality thing, because tactics, yeah, there's still a lot of questions there, and there's still probably going to be a lot of changes in the next couple of weeks. Granted, I think Spalletti needs to make a couple decisions going forward as to how this season's going to go. But forget what I was really saying.
But you mentioned Spalletti, so I'm going to jump in. Inter's next two games, Spurs in the Champions League, Sampdoria away. They could quite easily lose Fiorentina. Both of them. And then, right, and then Fiorentina. They could quite easily lose the next three games without a win. Then
do we start talking about Spalletti being sacked? But right now, they've got their worst start to the season since Gasperini.
And what happened to him after five games?
He got a sack.
Look at him now.
Well, I mean, if we're really talking about Spalletti getting the sack, then it's...
Not now, in then, three games, if he doesn't win the
three games.
Because then that's what? Another 2-0 league, so you've got 6 in the league in the first Champions League game.
But the mentality, you can't go past that, I'm sorry, but with that amount of possession against a team like Parma that's just come out, and with all due respect, that their quality is not all that.
They were bad.
You know, put aside tactics or anything, there is enough individual talent on that field to win that match. That's it, full stop. There's no... So you at some point, yes, there is questions over tactics and all that, but at some point you have to look at these players and say, well, I mean, these guys are brought in to do a certain job and they're not doing it, whether it's as a team, whether it's the individuals, but... You know, that's why I look at the players more than Spalletti, because that's where the problem is. And it has improved under Spalletti, but there's still clearly a long way to go. The hope is that after a few matches, Nangalan's going to build more of a combination. There'll be Icardi back. There'll be Icardi's backup in that striker role. Remembering Keita is not there for that role. So there's so many positives, Connor. No, but look... I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm pissed off at the result, but I'm concerned, but I'm not panicking just yet.
All right. I'm just looking at the comments. Our commenters seem split on Spalletti's position as well. Abdul says he deserves the patience of the fans and definitely until January at least because of the job he did last season. What else have we got? A win against Tottenham might change things. Vito, quickly, how likely do you think that is?
I'm pretty pessimistic about that. Although Spurs lost that home to Liverpool, I do think that Inter's form is worse than Spurs, so I think Spurs can fancy their chances of getting a result.
So, Apo in the comment, he said, typical though, they'll turn up against a tough team. And that's the thing, Inter will actually lift for teams like that. You see... Inter go into Derby d'Italia sometimes with absolutely no form on the back, and they'll play this completely. It's a completely different team. So while I'm very nervous about the Tottenham match, I can 100% guarantee that the mentality and the players will be a lot more switched on than they were against Parma, which is half of the problem of this team.
Yeah, you do think with Spalletti sides and this Inter one in particular that they are probably better suited to playing teams better than them because they don't have the responsibility of trying to pick these holes. Philip, welcome along. I'm sorry, but he's struggling this week. Why? Just why? Come on, Inter, you're better than this. Well, Philip, we'll see.
What about the goal, though?
Oh, yeah.
What about the goal?
This is something I wanted to talk about because DiMarco, anyone who doesn't celebrate against your former club, watch what DiMarco did. He's playing against his current parent club and he was loving it. Top off, knee slide across San Siro.
You were loving it, Clancy.
Mate, it was amazing. He ran over towards me and said, oh, my. But no, seriously, what a goal. And it was weird, like, being there because...
Well, it didn't look like it was going to go in. It looked like it was going, like, miles wide because Handanovic didn't look bothered. And then you've seen the net bulging, like... Christ,
and there was
that just went in.
You know that beautiful moment where an away team scores a goal like that, and there's that minute or second of silence before everyone's, oh, that actually went in. And the Parma fans were up in the skies, so you could hear them, but faintly. What's the story behind the Inter hate?
We
have a new commenter. All right. No, I got accused 2 weeks ago of being an Inter fan. We literally have an Inter fan on the podcast.
We don't hate anybody. We just say it like it is.
Yeah.
Hashtag tell the truth.
And generally, if we say things about a team that the fans of that team don't want to hear, we get accused of hating them.
Yeah. We don't hate it. I like it. They're nice to me. So, And we're doing that as well, Apple. We're giving Nick some poo.
If there's ever a question mark, it's that one, isn't it? It's always we're just giving Nick a hard time.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, DeMarco. Sorry. He's an
DeMarco said that he didn't want his first goal to be against a team that he loved, but then he went mental and he scored. So
that's good. I like that, though. You know, one thing I hate is when players don't celebrate like against a former team
that they played for once.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm like, no, just go for it. You scored an amazing goal. Enjoy the moment because you're not going to score another one like that in your career.
As Aaron Holland points out, though, Inter aren't just nice to you. They're handing out points they want to come against at the moment. Aaron, it's nice that you say that because Roma didn't do too well this week either, did they? They handed out points to Chievo after going
2-0. No. Wait, hold on a minute. Chievo dropped 2 points. I think we need to get this. Get the
You're not in on this just yet. Vito, I want to talk about Roma because I don't want to talk about Chievo. But I've seen Eusebio Di Francesco get a lot of criticism after today's game. But is it all his fault? I mean, he had his two best players sold from under his nose this summer. And he was given all of these new guys who haven't really proven themselves at an elite level yet. So is it harsh to criticize him just yet? Or should he take some more responsibility?
I do think criticism of Di Francesco is harsh. But in saying that, I reckon he should address the fact that Roma should not have slowed down in the second half. They thought they had it easy after going 2-0 up in the first half, and then they seemed to be in cruise control. They treated the game as a training session, and then Chievo came back, and that's what happens sometimes if you don't get your game management right or if you just slow down at 2-0.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've got Eusebio Di Francesco's press conference there, and it's eerily similar to the comments that Luciano Spalletti made when Inter threw away a 2-goal lead.
We'll make a mention. We had our reporter Alistair McKenzie at the Stadio Olimpico for Forza Time Football because we're at the games.
We're at all
games. And he's really pissed off. I was talking to him before. I was like, we'll wait and see what he's like after the game. And then he's like, yeah, I'll give you the press conference because he is angry. And he's just pissed off at the mentality thing. He said that it's a question of mentality. We need to work on it. So do these coaches just not have any kind of say over how the players are supposed to be their job?
I got annoyed when Spalletti said it, so I have to get annoyed at Di Francesco.
It's the buzzword.
It's his job to make sure the mentality is right. And if not, you're just pointing the finger of blame at yourself.
Yeah, well, when you're facing an amazing... Chievo had Walter Bierce back. King Walter of Bierce. You're screwed when he comes on. Just smashes it.
What did I just say?
A great guy. Lovely guy. I don't know what I was listening to.
Nick, someone said that Di Francesco and Spalletti are summoning their inner Gian Piero Ventura with their performances at their respective clubs this year. What do you think of the whole Di Francesco situation? I'm sympathetic to him, except for his comments.
It blows my mind that we are in this state in 2018 and we're four matches into a Serie A season and we're already just going to town on these coaches.
I'm with you on Di Francesco, to be honest.
My point being that Serie A is probably one of the leagues where they just have no respect for you know, actually letting coaches develop in a team. They're just out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And we're still doing this. After Di Francesco's first season in charge, where he significantly overperformed, Roma did, and now we're looking at he's had two big changes in his midfield. He's got basically a new team, and I just don't understand how he's not at least given more time to make this team work. I mean, look, you look at that midfield compared to what he had last season. Like, that's huge. It's huge. I'm pretty sure we've already spoken about this, but I mean, Di Francesco, I don't think deserves any criticism.
Well,
this is the question.
He's getting criticism everywhere, but surely the club have to step in, because it was the club who, above his head, said, right, Nangolan's gone, Alisson's gone, Strutman's gone.
Not really. The thing with Monchi and Roma, and Monchi said this, if an offer comes in for a player and we think is good enough, the player like that, everybody's up for sale, essentially. So if the offer comes in and there's a question there asking about Strutman, Phil Ags asking why he sold him. It's not that Strutman wanted to leave or anything like that. It's that Roma have said everybody's for sale if the price is right.
I just think that...
And they thought 25 million for a guy who not really been in the best form, has got injury problems. They took him.
I get that, but to sell both him and Nangolan in the same summer.
But then they've got Pastore, Cristante, Pellegrini, De Rossi. So and who's the other guy? Is it Coric? Is he a midfielder as well?
They've got Nzonzi.
Nzonzi. Yes. So they've got
Cristante doesn't play in a midfield three. Pellegrini
does at Roma.
Yeah, he's not. He hasn't been very good. I know he scored today, but he hasn't been very good. Pellegrini still hasn't quite proven it at that level. Who else did you know? Pastore,
he's yeah, well, yeah.
There's a reason he's not a Paris anymore.
I personally would rather have Nangolan. But then again, Nangolan had problems with Di Francesco as well. So that was kind of mutually beneficial for them to get rid of him.
Vito, you're chomping at the bit to jump in. Yeah, you've been sitting quietly. Go for it.
I am. Well, if someone's got to get the blame, I would rather blame Monchi than Di Francesco. But as Dov said, that's just part of the business model. In saying that, I just hope Roma don't buck down to the pressure from, you know, exterior forces and, you know, sack Di Francesco. I think it would be silly. And also, after what he's done last season, I think he deserves the chance to just mold the team together again, get used to that new midfield that he's got to work with and give them time, because they could possibly progress in the second half of the season. And to get rid of him so early, I think it would just be a waste.
And let's not forget the fact that, I mean, while it did end up a draw, I mean, Roma in that first half was so much better. Like, it was easy for them. And that's why it seemed like they didn't have the motivation, because they just thought it was going to, I think, as Vito said, it was just like they thought it was a training match. I think they had the feeling like it was just going to turn into Sampdoria Frosinone, where they were just going to keep doing these easy goals, and it looked easy. And the players reacted accordingly. They just kind of took it easy, and they almost invited Chievo back into the match. And
well, Chievo could have won it at the end if Olsen didn't make that.
Yeah, Giaccarini.
Giaccarini. Oh my gosh.
Giaccarini's a legend.
Right, Vito touched on something there. It's true. Roma are building a new team, but
they're always building. They're always building a new team. It's like they're never going to get anywhere if A, they take the mentality of everybody's for sale, because you'll get if you get somebody half decent, which has happened pretty much every single year since Palotta's taken over, they have to sell their best players. Like, remember when Eric Lamela was Roma's hot new thing, and now he sits on the bench at Spurs? Under will be next, Kluivert will be after that, Cristante will probably go somewhere else if he gets decent, Pellegrini, like Manolas, there's these players who are really good already, could get even better, and Roma will sell them, and then they're building again. You can't be in a process of always building. Because it's just, you never build a house if you're always building.
Not if you're at that level. If you are one of the clubs who just wants to survive, you can do that. But Roma...
Roma got to the semi-final by Champions League.
Roma should be trying to win things. But when was the last time they won anything?
Ah, exactly. Well, there's a question. There's a question coming.
Phil, I'm sorry.
When was the last time Roma won something?
I'm sorry, Phil, but your club are a joke at the moment.
That's brutal.
But like, this is it. It's frustrating for me because I don't want all of these teams to be terrible. But if you look at it, Inter drop points this weekend, Roma drop points this weekend.
Milan drop points this weekend.
Napoli got smashed by Samp last time. Milan drop points this weekend. Juve are just going to have the league done by the new year.
Cable's got drop points this weekend.
It's all about Sassuolo, but Juve have already knocked them off. So Sassuolo finished second.
The problem with this is, sorry, I want to keep just have one more point. The problem with this is, it's not that we hate Roma or we hate anybody or we don't want them to do well. It's the fact that if they don't do well, Juve win the league every season, and then that just makes the league boring. This season's going to be boring. Yeah. Sorry, it's going to be so rubbish because Juve have the league won by March.
But it's the teams that we expected to really put up a challenge for the top four. It now looks like it's going to come down to already who's going to throw it away the least. As Nick said with that ridiculous stat, but Juve have won more games than the three next biggest teams or whatever, but that should not be happening, especially when you look at some of the games.
Well, that's the difference between the teams. Juve are a winning machine. The other teams are rebuilding or they're changing this and change. Juve just, right, we've got this, we're this, we'll win. And you can have all the possession you want, we'll win. And it's literally just, for me, it's a difference in mentality. Inter have mentality problems. Roma have mentality problems. Milan are...
There's one team that doesn't have mentality problems.
Because they're like, they win.
Napoli say that they have it all the time, but they don't.
I was talking to my good friend Sheridan Burt on the way home today.
Hi, Sheridan.
And we were talking about the mentality thing, because we're talking about Inter. How many players on the Inter team have actually won stuff?
Ooh.
Asamoah. Miranda.
Handanovic wasn't there at the Champions League.
You're kind of really, like, they haven't won anything. And whereas in Juve's case, they signed Ronaldo, who's a winner, regardless of what you say, and they've all won the league a million times. And they've just got this team of people who want to win and know how to win. Inter, Milan, Napoli, Roma, they don't have that.
Yeah, and Juve can't even afford to give those boys away. So they give away Asamoah. They give away
They're like, we're done with them. We've got Cancelo.
They gave away Bonucci for a bit as well. Come back.
So I'm going, have Bonucci. See how you get on there. Come on, Leonardo. Come back.
Speaking of strong mentalities, Nick, Napoli do deserve credit this week. They got a hard-fought win against Fiorentina. They were much the better team. Insigne on his own had every chance Napoli had in this game, I think. And he eventually got his goal. What I want to talk about, though, is the striker dynamic there between Dries Mertens and Arek Milik. I think under Ancelotti that Milik is probably better suited to playing the striker's role, especially if they're going to do this 4-4-2 thing where Insigne plays off him.
Yeah, certainly in 4-4-2, Milik is very much favoured to partner Insigne. It's weird. At times this season, I've already thought Dries Mertens is much... Can you guys stop doing that, please, when I'm talking?
Nick, this goes out as an audio, so don't do things like that.
Don't do things like that. At times, Dries Mertens, when he's been on, you just see the combination from previous seasons taking shape, and they look so much better. But then, you know, in this match, when Milik came on, that's when things started to turn, and it really worked for them. So, the positive being that there's more options for this Napoli squad now. It seems like they can change formations. They can change this 11. So, you know, they are building Dov, but there's lots of positives and they're still getting the wins. So it's positive change and it can only help them going forward when they play teams like a Juventus, when things aren't working, they can change a formation where in previous seasons, they're just, for 90 minutes, keep doing the same thing, like it's going to change anything. So it's really positive and they can grind out wins like this. So, yeah, I think they'll continue to surprise many of the people that wrote them off.
It's fine. Napoli are probably going to finish second now just by default because no one else will finish.
Sampdoria finished second.
Sassuolo second, Sampdoria third. Fourth. Who's finishing
fourth at the moment?
No, they'll finish third, though. They'll have some faith. And then fourth place will go to...
Spal.
Yeah, Spal. Spal are bombing it. They're going to win tomorrow night as well, which is going to be embarrassing.
Spal could go second tomorrow night if they win.
And I put money on Andrea Batania scoring tomorrow, by the way, because he never scores. But he'll score against Atalanta.
And who else is there? Your man, Pulisic, as well.
Kurtic, Pulisic, Drame. Grassi was there, but he's gone now. Anyone that left Atalanta in the last 12 months now plays for Spal. That's just how it works. Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations, Spal. Right, Vito, Cagliari, Milan, one each. We won't spend too long on this. Right, do you know what I'm going to talk to you about? Nicolò Barella, because he's 21 and he captained Cagliari. He came through there. He's been there his whole life, except for a long spell at Como. He's a youngster that Italian fans should be getting excited about until he goes and signs for Juve and sits on the bench.
Sounds about right. From what I've seen of Barella, he's a player that's very calm on the ball, especially for someone at a young age, and he's a graceful player too. So he is an important part to that Cagliari team, and the Milanese clubs have been linked with him the most, and I think he would add that extra bit of class and creativity to the midfields if they do acquire him. If I really had to pick one over the other, I would prefer the Rossoneri to pick him, because Inter seem to have this fixation with defensive midfielders and these grafting types. So someone who has a bit of class like him, I think he would suit AC Milan more than Inter.
We've got some top four predictions coming in already. Hamad says top four in order. Juve, Napoli, Lazio, Milan. Lazio's a good shout.
Lazio are a good shout. Under the radar. It's really weird. Like, they're a really good team. And Zaghi's a really good coach.
Well, that one is,
one of the best.
Yeah.
Simone, we should say.
Yeah, not the other one. He's rubbish.
Poor Pippa.
Absolutely.
Pippa. Milan, then.
No. It's the same thing as normal. The Suso's crap.
For this part, can we just scrap this, right? And we'll just go and pluck bits that we said about each of these clubs last season.
It's the same
and just
thing.
Pop it back in.
It's the same rubbish. It's just the same. But except they've got a good striker this time. If that was Kalinic last season, he wouldn't have scored the chance.
That would have lost. 100%.
So that's the difference. Higuain is the difference. If you give him the ball in the box, he'll score.
That's it. Higuain will prove to be the difference by the end of the season, because I do think Milan will get top four and Higuain is going to get 20. Yeah, I said it. Last time we spoke, I said I need to see them once more. And I saw them play against Roma. Was it Roma?
Yeah, and that
did it for me. They'll get top four. Hamad, right. Vito, you can take this one. Do you think Sampdoria, Fiorentina or Atalanta could finish top four? Yes. What do you think, Vito? One of them could finish top four.
Very tough. Look, I hope Sampdoria finishes top four, but I think it'd be a big task. We've got to make sure that most of our players remain fit. And of course, I'll reiterate again, we've really got to improve our away record. If we do that, that would help us immensely. Atalanta, I think it's possible because
two years ago they
finished fourth. It's a much better squad than 2 years ago, so the potential's there. Fiorentina, I still think they need a better midfield. They got the forwards, but the midfield needs to be more creative and feed those strikers a lot better than what they have been doing.
Yeah, Benassi just doesn't look like he's... I don't know.
They've not had Bertu. I think they had him. They had him against Napoli, but didn't have him in the game before.
Bertu and Gerson can do better.
Yeah.
Benassi scores goals.
My best team score.
Yeah, Benassi, I don't know. Like, I really liked him when he was at Torino, but I think that might have been more closer to his level. I'm not sure he's got anything that makes him outstanding. And I think you need to have at least one thing, unless you're...
He's in good form just now.
He was awful in that game that he got the winner in against Udinese. He was terrible. And then Chiesa just stuck him in. To be fair, it was a bloody good finish. Right, Vito, go. Sampdoria beat the Training Cones 5-0.
Did you
see that goal?
I didn't see the goal.
Right, there's a goal, but Sampdoria's great. I think it was Caprari's goal, Vito, if I'm not mistaken.
The goal to make it 2-0, yes. That was a beautiful goal.
It was a beautiful goal for the last three passes, but everything up until that, Frosinone stood still. and Sampdoria just passed it around them. They were like waiting for Frosinone to pressure them, and no one did. So then they just played a ball through midfield and defence, and then all of a sudden the Frosinone defenders were in trouble. But credit to Sampdoria, big win. They look good. Vito, you must be getting excited. Even when Edgar Barreto plays, they're winning games now.
Well, I have been one of his biggest critics, if not his biggest critic.
Let's be honest.
Yes. And he was actually one of our best. Not only did he work his socks off, but he actually used the ball very well. So credit where it's due. And he was the one that provided the cross for Fabio Quagliarella to score the opening goal. And he was, and he provided a superb long pass for Gaston Ramirez to set up the fifth goal for Gregoire de Frel. So it's great to see someone like him who doesn't perform well enough actually do something. And Nicola Muru, the left back, he's another player that's got some criticism from Sampdoria fans. And I thought his effort was very good against Frosinone, just the way he patrolled the flank. And he played with great confidence. So hopefully he can continue in that trend and keep going with that momentum, because we need to get as many wins as possible, even on the road and even against these small sides. So anything to boost the confidence helps.
Well, it looks like you're facing Inter at a good time. The fact that you've got the two home games against big teams either side of going to Frosinone, where you're not going to lose, and you did. So this Inter game looks like it could go well as well. You don't want to curse it or anything. You're...
Well, you're looking to say something. I'm not going to say. Do you want, I can say something if you want.
Yeah, say something.
Right. You were at Genoa Bologna.
There you go.
We were at the rubbish games as well. We're not just got the big teams. We've got the rubbish teams.
All right.
Bring it right. I'll bring the charisma. Do you want me to bring the charisma?
Yeah.
talk about Piontek, because that's how you say his name.
Piontek.
Yeah, that one.
This guy is good. He's got eight goals this season. Four of them. I don't know if you want
the best striker in Europe.
He is. He's Europe's hottest striker. No one in the big five leagues has scored more than him. Vito, you guys have had your little Polish superstars. Genoa now have theirs. Because this guy, he's so good. He can do everything.
How is he so good? He can do everything. Explain. Tell the people.
He's always in the right place. Whenever there's a loose ball in the box, he's there. He gets his shots on target more often than not. He can head it. He can control it. He can hold it up and bring others into play. And he can finish finishing. Is so good. I was talking to a guy from Bologna about Mattia Destro at the game today, and I was saying every time he misses, he looks like he just wants the ground to swallow him up. And I described him as being a ghost occupying Destro's body, because he is terrible. But Piontek's the exact opposite. Every time he missed, you just thought, oh, he's definitely going to score his next one. And normally when you've missed a few chances, you kind of just want one to pop up, not to think about it and just to smash it home. But his goal, I think it was Crescito played it to him outside the box, and he carried it forward a few steps and just opened his body up and curled it into the bottom right corner. It was a beautiful finish. I've seen him against two poor teams. We might talk about Bologna because they are the worst team I've ever seen.
I'll remind you of it.
And Empoli. But I don't know, I've been really impressed with Piontek. I think Barcelona have been watching him. They've had scouts at the games. And
had a scout at the Sassuolo.
If he's there beyond January, I'll be surprised. And if he is there beyond January, he will probably be on loan from someone who has signed him.
Maybe that's why he's so good, because he's playing for a big move.
Yeah.
Well, Destro's had his chances and screwed them all up. So he's a broken man.
Ballardini was asked about him a couple of weeks ago, and Ballardini got annoyed at the whoever asked him the question, the journalist. He was like, why are you talking about him? I don't want people to know about him. And you can see why, because he's good. Like him. He's up there with Giovanni Simeone for me and strikers that I love watching already.
Yeah, okay, so let's go from the top, from the highs of Piontek to the lows of Bologna. Bologna haven't scored this season yet. And they're extending the record of being crap.
No, they're so bad. So they never look like scoring. They've got Destro up front. And then that's not going right. So they bring on the boy, Federico Santander.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they play Santander?
He's just a lump with long hair. And he's not even an effective lump. He just goes up front. They play the ball to his head and he can't jump to win the headers. He's awful. Like, how is he there? Who signed him? Bologna have money. Bologna have a big stadium. They're in a big city. Their owners are minted. Why are they this bad?
Maybe it's because he's got the same name as a bank. I don't know. See, we thought Santander Bank. money. Who knows? I don't know what they're thinking. Because
he should play for Racing Santander.
Yeah, he should just play anywhere that isn't a good football league. He should go to MLS.
Actually, yeah, he could go there.
That was
Jose Martinez.
Yeah, like he can be as good as Sebastian Giovinco if he goes out MLS way.
Yeah, Bologna are crap. End of story.
Yeah, Bologna are gone. Bologna and Frosinone are gone.
I say, who's going to get sacked first? Inzaghi, Spalletti, or Di Francesco? There's a question.
Are any of those like merry-go-round
Inzaghi
available? Yeah, because Inzaghi will be gone. Get big Eddie Ray.
Then they'll bring Donadoni back in. There you go.
I was going to say bring Eddie Ray in, but he will just make them not concede. They still won't score any goals because he'll play with no strikers.
Mm.
Is that it?
Empoli, Lazio, Lazio.
Lazio, do you want to talk about it? I didn't see Empoli Lazio, to be honest with you. Any of you see Empoli Lazio, no?
No, but I did see the winner for Marco Parolo, so, you know, at least he's doing something useful. So, another 1-0 win.
Vieri Capretta, our man, he said Empoli played very good football. That was his comment.
I went to the Genoa game expecting that because they played all right the first week and they were bad. They had a lot of possession, but Genoa just let them do it. I want Empoli to do well because, I don't know, it's different having them about, isn't it?
Mm.
I saw them against Cagliari. They were good. They got a clear idea how to play.
Yeah, you would like. Apparently, I'm being too harsh, and you think I'm not. How many chances has he had in Italy? He's terrible. Like, I went on a rant about Giovinco last season. Go back and find that. He's terrible. MLS has improved, but it's still not very good. And if he came back to Italy, he would be terrible, which is why he doesn't get an Italy call up, even though Italy have no good strikers.
He's like 32 or something. Like that.
Yeah, he's not good. That's it. Spal Atalanta tomorrow night. Spal will get 3 points probably because that's just how it's going.
In the Champions League, against Tottenham,
do you
want to Red
we
Star
do a quick or... little Champions League thing?
Not really.
No?
No, the press conferences are tomorrow. So all right. We'll have some stuff up tomorrow.
Read the website. We'll have things. Are we done?
We're done. Smashed it.
We're done.
That was quick. Thank God. We need to go outside. It's too hot here. It's very hot. It just got hot in the last 10 minutes, so we were all right. And now we're...
It's because I'm sitting next to Conor Clancy, everybody. He gets a bit hot under the collar when dogs are on.
I don't know how to ask.
This is amazing charisma.
You're oozing charisma. Oh,
you're not making... You don't know what I'm oozing, Conor Clancy. We shouldn't go there.
I've lived in your house for the last 2 months. So I know full well what you're oozing. See you hopefully. Right, that's it. Guys, thank you as ever in the comments. Aaron, I'm sorry, because we picked on you tonight, mate. You love Mattia Destra and you love Roma. We couldn't be nice about either of those things today. I'm sorry. Nick, thank you. You've braved it out. I appreciate you.
You appreciate me. Thank you. I'm glad to know that.
Okay, well, I like his wee face.
I mean, you haven't smiled all day, Nick. I was wondering if it was something I said, right? I'm glad I could bring that smile back to your face.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, go enjoy work.
Can't wait.
Vito, thank you very much. It's good that you're feeling better again after your sickness last week. And
yeah,
you can celebrate better. Your win for the rest of the week.
Actually, what we do need to mention, we kind of didn't do as well this week as what we normally do.
We only
went to 4 games.
I was going to apologise, actually, to all of those who come to us for the live in Italy action, because the standards have slipped, though. We were only at 4 matches this week. 5, technically, because we were both at 1, so we can double that up. But, yeah, it's poor.
That's poor. And the standard of music pre-match is poor. Juventus were playing Limp Bizkit. Juventus played Limp Bizkit. I had 3 songs
in the
game. I was just like, really, really, guys? We're playing Limp Bizkit, are we?
Right. I can go one better than that. Genoa played Black Eyed Peas and Macklemore.
Macklemore?
Mm.
Which Macklemore song?
What is it? The big one.
The big one. The big one.
Go back?
Not the big
this
one.
Is the moment.
Oh, well, that's. You can expect that at a sporting match.
Right. But it followed Black Eyed Peas.
Get the party started. No. Is that Black Eyed
Peas? I got a feeling.
That's way too old. That's it, like 2005 or something like that.
When you were a youngster, Nicholas.
Back in, that was my prime.
I'm going to guess it was 2009.
Out of the clubs in those days. Bloody hell.
Bloody hell. That was, the Aussie is coming at you today.
What does that mean, the Aussies coming out? Where is it usually?
Sound very Australian. A lot of the time you can rein it in a bit, but when you're sad, it comes out a bit more.
Rein it in a bit.
All right, no need to do an impression.
You don't start.
do you want to?
What? I don't want to.
All right, good. Dolph, thanks for joining us. And thanks for not doing the impression. how many games are we at next week?
I think we're at 6 or 7.
All right, so we're back to normal next week with 6 or 7 games covered from inside the stadiums, inside the country, inside the continent. You don't get it anywhere else. You'll be there, yeah. And we'll be back to the stuff on Sunday night.
In Australia.
Monday morning for you. You'll be here soon.
I mean, I would go to a game if I could.
We'll
I would help
the two of you out here soon. We'll get the two of you out here soon, and we'll have each of the 10 games covered. Although hopefully there won't be 10 games in Serie A round weeks for much longer, because someone, I can't remember who wrote it, has
Francesco
written.
Francesco Amorosini.
He wrote that Serie A should reduce the number of teams to 18 and 16, so yeah, then there would only be 8 or 9 games in a week. And I agree with that. So let's scrap the 10 game match weeks, shall we?
Get rid of some of the rubbish.
Just drop Bologna and Frosinone now.
And Parma.
No, because then it's an uneven number.
Parma on social media for not to be quiet, Nick. That's ridiculous. You're clearly drunk. Parma's social media feed in English. They had a picture of Luigi Seppi. We'll bring this full circle, go back to Inter. And a picture of Luigi Seppi, and their little message was, how good was this guy yesterday? He was rubbish.
He was bad.
How he kept a clean sheet, I will never know. He was terrible. So I think they're maybe trolling or something like that.
Maybe. Well, they were trolling during the match, to be fair, so maybe they're trolling. Maybe. I don't know.
Parma's Twitter. Look how good we used to be.
We've been smashing Instagram at the games. Our Instagram is our smallest social media account, so head over to Instagram.com and follow Forza Italian Football. You can get us on Facebook under the same name. The website's under the same name, just put a little .com at the end of it. On Twitter, we like to keep things different and Dobbs difficult, so that's at Serie A FFC. You are to blame for that.
How?
Who set up the Twitter again? There you go. That's how you're to blame about it.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been Connor Clancy, Dovs Giovanni, Nicholas Carroll, and Vito Doria. We'll be back again next week. Goodbye. Did you like that?
Bye bye.
Ciao.
Did you like that?
I like that. That was good.
Fanno gol, sempre gol, del campionato sono la gloria. Forza Parma, Forza Parma, questo è il grido di battaglia. Forza Parma, Forza Parma, con i gol, sempre gol. Siamo tifosi e con trombe e bandiere, accompagniamo la squadra del cuore. Batteremo le squadre avversarie, mai nessuno li potrà fermare, sono forti e sanno lottare, fanno gol, sempre gol, del campionato son la gloria. Forza Parma, Forza Parma, questo è il grido di battaglia. Forza Parma, Forza Parma.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.